Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Thank God it's Monday. Thank God it's Monday. Woo! I tell you, because of this series, I've even changed my day off. I'm not taking it on Monday anymore. I'm going to take it on Friday. Now, I'm going to come in on Monday because thank God it's Monday. And Monday's the day to get on with it. So we're going to get on with thank God it's Monday. So we're going to start a series. Going to do 4 weeks, break down some things. And Pastor Cheryl and I, we talk to folks. Talk to you folks. We're involved in some people's lives and things like that. And I'm amazed how many people just don't like their jobs, don't like work, don't have enough money, are unsatisfied with where they're at. And so much of what's going on in your life has to do with, you know, working and all that stuff. And how many know working and all that stuff's a lot of what people do? I know you spend a lot of hours giving your time for some money. You know, a lot of people aren't satisfied, not enough money, or don't like the job, or wish you could do something different, or, you know, my least favorite sound, you know what it is? My least favorite sound is the alarm clock. I hate that sound, I tell you. Man, bang, it's just crazy stuff. Kelly had one of her tones on her phone, I think it was for text message or something, was the same tone as my alarm clock. Every time she'd get a text, so I was like, you gotta change that. I'm gonna manifest right there. But we're gonna talk about thank God it's Monday. We're gonna get some good. You reckon if people are really engaged in that, and that's where their heads are at a lot, don't you think that maybe we should talk about that in church a little bit? We should talk about maybe stuff that relates to like your everyday life. Do you know why they did a study of all young people today and why so many young people have left church? And they said, because the church doesn't speak to my everyday life anymore. So we gotta speak to your everyday life. Amen. How many got a job? How many want a better job? How many need a job? Man, I tell you, it's a good thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about working today. You know, how many had some bad jobs? I've had bad jobs, and you know, some of my bad jobs, the problem with the job wasn't as much the job, was I had a bad boss. Anybody ever had a bad boss? And you know, I didn't even mind the job, but I had to go into this annoying person every day. It's just like, oh my God, I got to see them again. Hope they're sick and not in today. You know, praise Jesus. And it's a bad thing, but you can have really annoying bosses. But I mean, one of the jobs I had was digging septic tanks, and I dug that up, and I was lost the job. And so a guy called up, said I'm putting in the septic tank, and said I could use somebody who's got a strong back and a weak mind. And I went, ugh. So I went and I shoveled out a bunch of stuff and cleared out an old septic tank to put in a new one. How many know that job really stunk? And so that was just bad. And I had a lot of fun jobs. I remember that one. I used to work at A&P. I used to stock shelves, and I worked at an A&P that was right downtown Peterborough, and it was right near a lot of senior citizens lived. And I love senior citizens, don't you? I'm almost one, so praise Jesus. You know, I'm never ever going to get old, but I am getting older. So, but I'm never getting old. Anyway, those folks would come in and they would walk in, and I'd be packing their bag. Then all of a sudden they'd pull out of their purse or someplace or pocket or jacket. They'd pull out this little mesh thing that apparently was a bag. But I had to somehow disentangle this thing because that's how they were going to carry. They used this mesh thing. They used to drive me nuts. I wanted to find out where they got these and go burn that store down. Because I tell you, trying to get those groceries in that mesh thing, and then the harder it was to do, the longer the line got. And the cashier's looking at me, what's the matter with you? And I'm going, you try this stinking mesh thing. I used to dread every Saturday morning, bing, go to A&P and pack bags. And anyway, well, you know, it's all good. You know, I worked at Coca-Cola. I did. I worked at Coca-Cola. And when I worked at Coca-Cola after school, I'd go to Coca-Cola, and they'd bring the trucks in all full of empty bottles and empty cases. And then my job was, when they would take lift trucks, and they'd lift skid after skid after skid of empty bottles. They would surround me with like 100 skids of empty bottles. And then it was my job to make sure that the white bottles were in the white containers, and the Coke bottles were in the Coke containers, and the green Sprite bottles were in Sprite containers. And I'm like, why didn't the truck driver sort it when he picked it up? But anyway, their job was to surround me in mountains of unsorted glass, and my job was somehow to try and dig myself out of it every night. And it was like, here we go again. So I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I have amazing, amazing arms. They're not very long, but they're pretty amazing. That's why they're like that, because I lifted cases. That's just crazy. I was glad to get out of... Well, you folks, you know what it is, have some bad jobs. I'll give you a couple statistics. How many like statistics? Look at this right here. 50% of people show up late at work on Monday. Amazing. I thought I was going to challenge myself to work on Monday. Monday's average productivity is 30%. Wow. I walk around the office here now. They're all texting on their phones and talking and stuff. It's terrible. Not here. They're all good workers here. Good workers here. Monday, I showed you this before, but Monday, the average amount of moaning that takes place on a Monday morning is 10 minutes of moaning. Now, Wayne Zimmer told me his wife, it's about 27 before she leaves the house. But Monday morning moan, 10 minutes worth of moaning. 20% higher rate of heart attack. 20% higher rate of heart attack on Monday. Now, some people say it's because people are anxious about Monday, but some people say it's because they were drinking so hard on the weekend, not looking forward to Monday. That, you know, hey, highest rate of suicides on Monday. If you work 50 hours a week, you are 2 times more likely to be divorced. Amen. That's why 40 and I'm out, because I love my wife. Amen. There's some statistics for it, but Mondays, people don't like Mondays. And, you know, the reason people don't like Mondays is because a lot of people just don't like their job or they don't like what they're doing. And you know, it's not about what you're doing. What you're doing is just what you're doing. What you're doing, where you're serving, what's happening right now, that's where you are. But that's really not your problem. And sometimes you can't do a whole lot to change that, or maybe you can and you should do it if you can. But, you know, wherever you are, there you are. And you know what? You should just embrace every single day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's go to the Word of God and deal with some theology about work. Are you ready? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start in the beginning. You ready? God created man, and here's what happened. He said, then God blessed them. Say, God blessed them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue. Aren't you glad that he blessed you first? He blesses you, and then he gives you this job to do. He says, he blessed you, and he says, now be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that moves on the earth. I mean, you got a job to do right away. God created man. He blessed him. He said, get to work. Get to work. You have a responsibility. You know, if we don't like what's going on in the earth today, it's our fault. If we don't like what's happening, I mean, God's up there and he says, the earth I have given to man. And he's given us authority and us responsibility. He blessed us with everything we need to be successful, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. He said, I want you to reproduce, I want you to rule, and I want you to reign. And he blessed us to accomplish that. Say amen. Genesis chapter 2:15, then the Lord took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it, or to work it and to guard it. God created us to work. Say work. Work. I love work. Amen. Work is a gift. What? I won't even read the book of Job. I went through there and said, oh, there's a book about a job. I can pass that one. That's Job. It's about a guy. It's not a job. You can read it. Trust me. It's okay. All right. Work is meant to be a blessing. Work is meant to be a blessing. Really, we need to change our whole mindset about work. You know, a lot of people, I hate my job. What a silly thing to say. You need to speak into that whole thing, another thing. You know what? You are going to make it or break it by the words of your own mouth. So maybe you better change your mindset and get something else coming out of your belly and speak blessing over yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Thank you for that. John 5, verse 15. My Father is always at his work. My Father is always at his work. He is working every single day. And he says, this very day. And he said, and I too am working. Father's working, Son is working, Holy Ghost is working. John 17:4, Jesus said, I have glorified you on earth. How did I glorify you? I finished the work which you gave me to do. How many know what Jesus, what the work is that he's given you to do? Sometimes if you don't know what the work is he's given you to do, it's hard to be happy if you don't know what you're here for. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. What is it you're here to work? Say work. I know it's a four-letter word, but it's for you. Work. Work. Genesis 3, 17 to 19. Man fell. Man decided to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So knowledge of good and evil, that nasty scale, comparison, all these ugly things came in. Man said, I want to try and do all of this independently of God. See, God blessed you and he gave you a job. But now you said, you know what? I'd like to do all this on my own strength. I'd like to live on my own. I'd like to start to do this myself. I'm going to live out of my own power, my own ability. And then what happened? That's where everything got messy. And you know, we're still living in some of the results of that. See, it says in Genesis chapter 3, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Interesting. Cursed is the ground for your sake in toil. Say toil. You know what? You were called to work. You weren't called to toil. Sad thing is, a lot of people are stuck in toil. You know, I hate toil, but I like work. But you know what? Curse comes and toil comes, and it says, in toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. But you know, if you're not walking in the blessing of the Lord, if you're not speaking the blessing of the Lord over your life, if you're not operating, getting strength to do everything you do out of the blessing of the Lord, then why everything you're doing is going to be toil. If you are trying to do anything, I mean your job, anything, raise your children, anything, if you're trying to do anything outside of him empowering you to do it, it'll be toil. Because that is the bottom line. Living independently of God, it stinks. It's bad, I'm telling you. Jordan's growing hair in the blessing of God, and it's working for him. Sorry, buddy. I just love that hair. It's just awesome. Never seen anything like it. It's just good. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. Amen. I didn't try to grow that weed, but look at it. Holy moly. You know? Man, I don't have to go to my garden and pull out the fruit. I got to go pull out. I never planted that. I don't want that. But there it is. There it is. With thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweet of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So it's talking about that whole aspect that, you know what? We're working in a system that's a bit messed up. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. How do you know if we leave you there, that's kind of a sad story. We don't leave you there, though. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? All right. Work turned into toil. The ground was cursed. Work turned into toil because of the fall. And here's some of the effects. The ground is cursed, and sin affects people. The ground is cursed, and sin affects people. The ground is cursed, and sin affects people. See, we're living in a world that's kind of broken up, messed up. It's not producing like it could or like it should. I'm sure in the Garden of Eden, you know, grapes were like 700 pounds. They were just, I don't know, maybe not that big. But I mean, stuff was happening. You would plant, it would grow. I mean, it was like seed time, and harvest was seed harvest. I mean, stuff was happening so much quicker. I mean, you would plant, but the results were amazing. And then suddenly, the whole nature of everything changed. But you know, so in this whole world that we're in the world you're in today, there's a struggle in this world. It doesn't produce like it should. It really doesn't. And you know what? You work with people that are still living in a fallen state. You work with people that are still under the power of the enemy. So when you go to work and you don't like your boss, you got to recognize that your boss isn't your problem. You got to recognize you may be working with somebody who's not a believer, or if they are a believer, they don't know that they don't have to behave like that. They can manifest the nature of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. They can manifest and they can change the whole environment of their workplace where it can become fruitful and positive and things can grow and things can flourish. But you know, you can take a nasty attitude to work too. You know, you may be delivered from, and the old man's dead, and you're dead to the flesh. But sadly, you who are totally dead to the flesh can operate out of your nature, and you can bring a grumpy attitude to work too. And you can come in there, oh, it's Monday, I hate Monday, oh, stinking coffee maker don't work, oh, I hate this coffee. That's me walking by Kelly every Tuesday morning. That's what she has to put up with. She's got to be prayed up on Tuesday. Pastor's coming to work today. Oh, my God. You know, hi, Pastor. You, even as a believer, what are you bringing into that environment? What are you doing? Because, you know, you can bring blessing or curse into where you are right now. You know, you should always be saying, thank God it's Monday. I get to walk out the door and be a blessing to everybody, to bring kingdom everywhere I go, and let the glory of God be in manifestation. But you know what? If you want, wish I didn't have to do this job. Can't stand this. Can't wait for God to deliver me from this hardship. You're just going like, I want to extend this. I'd like to learn some more, Lord. Hallelujah. Teach me. All right, so you know what? You work in environments that are unhealthy. You work in environments that are broken and are fallen. You also work with people that are a bit messed up. And the odd time, you can be messed up and contribute to it. Say, move along, Pastor. All right, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from your aimless conduct received by the tradition or things handed down to you from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. You see, you were born after Adam, but you know what? You can be delivered from whatever Adam brought into your experience when you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So you no longer have to live out of the curse. I might still be in this world, but I don't have to live out of this world. See, I'm in this world, but I'm not subject to this world. I literally can live out of another kingdom right now. I can bring the glory of God wherever I am. So whatever I'm doing, it can be so glorious, so attractive, so amazing that literally I am highly advantaged. Working with me, hanging around with me, being with me is like heaven on earth. But if you got a bad attitude towards your environment and think that you're helpless and you're out of control, and what am I going to do about my boss? You can pray about your boss. You can bind the things involved in your boss's life. Believe it or not, I used to work in a secular job. That's something we got to deal with too, that whole secular sacred thing. We think there's a divide between it. There really isn't. But I used to really work at a job. I worked in an electrical distributor. But I had two Christians that worked with me. You know what we did every morning before we went to work? They met at my place, came to my mom's place. We sat around the kitchen table, and we prayed for all the employees. We prayed for our place. We prayed for prosperity. And, you know, this was 79, 80 in around that time. It was an absolute dearth. I mean, the economy was nowhere. There were no building. Nobody was building anything in Toronto. And yet we worked at the branch in Markham, and in that period, we had to expand the branch we worked at in Markham. Everybody else was pulling back. Our branch was expanding. I was praying for the contractors that I was working for. When they bid on jobs, I prayed that they would get them. I prayed that they would get the job and they would prosper in it. It would flourish and come in on time. I prayed for everything on my job. I prayed that for everybody that I worked with, that they would be blessed, that they would flourish, that they would love work, that today, God, your joy, your goodness is going to fill our workplace. And we loved it. Then I went into the ministry. I loved it. When I was out on the road in sales, I used to pray for my accounts. I used to pray for increase. I mean, I'm highly competitive. But I figured if I'm anointed, and I got very few believers working with me, if I'm anointed, I don't care how long these people have been working, I'm going to be the best salesman this company's ever seen. And I used to run in on Fridays, and I would go in, and everybody's reports were there. And they'd be all in their slots. And I would pull out everybody's reports and check just to make sure that I was blessed more than anybody. And I'd walk around, I'm selling more than anybody in this place. But I tell you, God, I asked God to give me ideas or creative ways to get more business in accounts I was at. And you know, God is amazing. When you got the Holy Spirit working with you, He'll make you look like a genius. This isn't just for Sunday. This crosses over into every single aspect of your life. Thank God it's Monday. Can't believe I got a Sunday. I can't believe I gotta wait until tomorrow to bless all those people again. Oh, glory to Jesus. Fill my tank, fill it up, boy. This supernatural stuff, just pour it into me. I'm going to loose the kingdom everywhere. Glory. And then you come back next Sunday to just testify about how awesome your week was. Can't believe I'm still doing this. Oh, praise Jesus. Oh, my God. Hello. And where I work, they put me on the clock. I got my wife waving at me, tapping her wrist, you know. Okay, let's move on. I just read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I read the whole thing. And the reason I wanted to read it to you is because, you know what? We don't live under the curse side anymore. You are blessed. You are blessed. You literally, your bosses should be coming to you like they did with Joseph. I don't know what's going on, but ever since you started working here, we're going through the roof. everything should shift. And he said, I love that. You remember Jacob? Jacob, when he went and started living with his uncle Laban, Laban went to a witch through witchcraft. He said, the witch told me that you're blessed because that guy is now working with you. So he said, I learned through divination that you are the one who's caused blessing in my life. Hello, come on. How many know we got a better covenant? We got a new covenant. How many know, boy, oh, I wish that were true. Pastor, it is true. It is true. You are ridiculously blessed. You are so highly advantaged. You're like Michael Jordan playing with a bunch of five-year-olds. You are so above the rim. Come on, so you're blessed. You're blessed these blessings. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the country, food, your body, produce, everything you have should be blessed. Your neighbors should be, you should be pulling out carrots that are 6 feet long and going, oh my God, your neighbors, how'd you do that? I'm blessed. Have you prayed over your tomatoes recently? Come on, you should be out there going, don't you dare not manifest. Don't you dare. I don't want a little cluster. I want a big cluster. I don't want a few tomatoes. I want a lot of tomatoes. Glory to God. Okay, so 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, it says, the ark remained at Obed-Edom's house to Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him. I mean, when you got the presence of the Lord in your house, it brings blessing. He was blessed because of the presence of God. Look at three functions at work. You ready? Look at it. It's right on the screen right now. Right now, I'm on the clock. Give me the, all right, right now. Three functions at work. You ready? Dignity, dollars, and discipleship. You know what? Having a job's a good thing. Having a job gives you dignity. You are not what you do. You're not, hey, what do you do for a living? Well, you know, I shovel ditches. Oh, not me. You're not what you do, but you know what? Doing what you do and being satisfied with what you do brings you some dignity. You know? And you know what it should also bring you? It should bring you some dollars. Say dollars. All right, then say discipleship, because what is working on me while I'm working at what I'm working on? Because where you are is going to be working on you. How many know you go to work, you work with other people, they drive you crazy? Guess what that allows you to do? It allows you to manifest the kingdom. So no matter where you are, it's working some discipleship in you. You got a whole different attitude because you're a child of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just a command of the clock to stop in Jesus' name. All right, basic expectations. Basic expectations. We expect a measure of success. We expect to be fairly compensated. We expect personal enjoyment. How many want to enjoy their job? I mean, we say that to our staff. Are you enjoying yourself? Well, days you're not here, you know, but no, that's not true. They have more fun when I'm here. Okay, number four, actualization. Then what I'm doing is actually making a difference. I'm doing something that has actualization. There's something happening. I'm doing something that's bigger than just, you know, the job I'm doing. There's something bigger going on. And you know, whatever your job is, you can connect it to something bigger. No, whatever your job is, you can connect that to eternal purpose. You don't have to change your job to connect it to eternal purpose. You can see where God has placed you and has you now. You can see the significance and the destiny in it if you let him do it. When these are not met, people feel stuck. I thought that said people only suck, but that wouldn't be good, right? People often feel stuck. I hate my job, thus I hate Monday. How are we doing? We doing okay so far? Is anybody feeling a little better yet? Not yet. Okay. Work dissatisfaction leads to. Work dissatisfaction leads to one, being disappointed, overlooked, unappreciated, or failing. That can lead to disappointment. How many have ever had that? You were overlooked or unappreciated or something failed and it didn't work out the way you wanted. You know what? That can lead to disappointment. Disappointment not dealt with means you can miss your appointment. You got to make sure you don't let disappointment become something that messes with your life. Number two, you can become disengaged. And people, it says 70% of people, 2013, they did a Gallup poll of workers. This is why you have to preach on this stuff. You ready? You can be talking to people about all kinds of things, but you know what they're really thinking about? 70% of people are disengaged with their job. 70%. Turn and look at your neighbor. Turn and look at the neighbor on the other side. Turn and look at your third choice. If they all look unhappy, it's only you that's enjoying life. But if they look good, oh boy. 70%, 7 out of 10 people are disengaged on their job. Disengaged. Then the other thing that can happen if you're dissatisfied, you can become driven. And when you become driven, you become consumed, and you can then make your job or the pursuit of that idolatry. And that pursuit can start to swallow you and eat at you, and you can feel like, I'll be nobody until I finally realize this or realize that, and you'll become driven in your quest to realize that. And it says 86% are working, of those who are working, 86% are working more than 40 hours a week and taking less vacation time. Take your vacation. If you hear nothing else today, you ready? Take your vacations. Take them with your kids and have a lot of fun. And you know what? If it's another $50 to have the candy floss, just do it for Pete's sake. Don't worry. You're all the way there. Get some candy floss. Quit being cheap. All right. And I told you, 50% of people who work more than 50 hours a week, they are twice as likely to divorce. How many know most people are spending way more time, their family has become the people they work with, and the people at home are strangers. You got to understand, your family is your family. You got a massive priority there. Where you work is your mission field. It's where you minister to people. You touch people. That's not where you get your needs met. That's where you loose the goodness of God on people. If you're at work trying to get your needs met, you are not a very good believer. Oh, don't beat me up, Pastor. I'm saying it again. You are not a very good believer. I got give me another slide, just because we should. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord, where does promotion come from? From the Lord. But who do you work for? The Lord. You see, when you honor the Lord, you know, promotion comes from him. Knowing that it's from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Another slide right here, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this is right above the wall, right above Kelly's desk. She's so pleased we put it there. Work with enthusiasm, as though you're working for the Lord and not for the pastor. Amen. Or, sorry, not for people. Romans 5:17, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Only got a couple more slides. You ready? 1 Peter says, but you are a chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, special people that you may proclaim the praises of God. See, that's who you are. You've been redeemed to be a royal priesthood. You've been redeemed to reign over your experience. I got one more quote from Martin Luther, and we're going to pray for you. Martin Luther, look what it says. A cobbler, a smith, and a farmer, each has the work in the office of his trade, consecrated as priests and bishops. I love that. See, because that was something he wanted to deal with, that whole separation between clergy and laity. He wanted everybody to realize, you are all priests, you are all prophets, and you are all kings. And whatever you do, you are anointed and consecrated to minister the life and the power of God. So if we're going to change that, your vocation's a holy calling. You have to redeem your mindset, and you got to bring fresh joy into your world. Come on, stand up on your feet. Jesus. Amen. You all right? You okay? Come on, lift your hands up in the air right now. Father, we just pray you'd help us. Pray you'd help us realize we don't ever want to approach Monday grumpy and in a bad attitude. I don't want to ever say, I hate my job. So Father, I thank you. You are my provider. You're good. Wherever I am right now, I'm grateful for it, because I know that my pathway on to something else, my pathway, it's not around, or it's not by getting away from this or getting delivered from it. It's through. And you're going to bring me through. And whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to embrace every lesson of today, and I'm going to be what you called me to be. But Lord, in all truth, right now, for where I am and what I have, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. You know, if you're a believer, that whole mindset should have shifted in you, and you should appreciate going in on Monday. Can I just put your hands down for a minute? I just want to ask you one thing. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you're here today and life really is toil and struggle, you know, you can get, there's a real curse on the earth. There's a real struggle. There's a real difficulty. There's a fallen situation because of sin. But you know what? Jesus died for you that you can be delivered from that. And your toil can be turned into redemption and righteous work and righteous labor. You can step into a realm where the blessing of God is on your life. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to deliver you from the toil today. I want to deliver you from the struggle. And I want to loose on you the blessing of a loving God. So listen, I'm just going to say 1, 2, 3. And when I do that, if you don't know him, you want to know him, you want to experience that redemption, I just want you to lift your hand up really high. Nobody's looking around. It's just about you and God, and he loves you. So right now, I'm going to count to three. If you don't know him, just raise your hand. We're going to pray with you. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Right now, anyone all over the place, just raise your hand high enough where I can see your hand. Raise it up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. anyone else. Thank you, Lord. Just everybody pray with me now. You ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to deliver me from all toil and struggle. I embrace the blessing of God on the works of my hand. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Be my Redeemer. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Testify to me that I am a child of God. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, that was pretty awesome. Somebody might come and talk to you and say, hey, that was great what you did. They just want to follow up a little bit and just want to not just let you make a decision or put up a hand, but really begin a journey with your wonderful Savior. We're going to have the altar call. Folks are coming up. The people ministering at the altar, they're coming up right now. I'm going to pray for you and bless you. I'm going to release you on this beautiful day. So come on. I want you to do something. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your mirror. Do something. Thank God it's Monday. Just approach everything with a different thing. Hey, have you been to the altar lately? Have you been up here? I tell you, people get healed, set free, get words of revelation, wisdom. And these folks are ready to pray for you. But I'm going to bless you and send you on your way. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us. Let the revelation of it sink deep in every heart. Jesus, thank you for your great grace. May that revelation just empower me. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the tangible, knowledgeable revelation that you indeed personally are with me to just really to bless and to motivate and bring out every blessing that's mine as a child of God. So Father, I loose these people on that mission field to demonstrate your goodness, your kingdom. We thank you for it all. We give you praise and honor for it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,